KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know we got C-Block. Want to give you a quick update. The Coach Blue Ribbon Committee, which sounds fancy, has narrowed its list down to 12 for the class of 2025 coaching, and Dan Reeves has continued to move on. Obviously, he was with the Cowboys as a player and then as an offensive coordinator, so, and running backs coach. Just wanted to throw that out there as a quick update. Now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Let's turn things over to our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much, Alec. Nice work there. Kyle, how are we doing today, man?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
It's been busy. I'm kind of interested in, and I know the guys kind of scatter a little bit, but what was the mood earlier in the week around the Star?
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense of frustration, as I'm sure you guys have kind of sensed in your own right. But
yes,
the frustration comes from the way that they've lost the three games. The last couple of years, this is a team, especially last year, that has been fortunate enough to go into the bye on a high note. And they've gotten to enjoy their week off. They've kind of been relaxed and able to really give the time off for the players that the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, has issued, and then also the time for the coaching staffs to do their across the hall meeting, as they call it, where the coordinators take a look at self-scout and look at each other and try and find out what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, what they could do better. That's really what this week has been about. So it's been quiet ever since really Tuesday and Wednesday, but especially Monday and Tuesday. You could sense the frustration of how that game unfolded on Sunday and really the embarrassing fashion that the Cowboys lost in. It really was unfortunate the way that it unraveled, but you could feel that kind of tensity between the walls at the Star.
I'm glad you brought up the across the hall meetings, because Broadus talked about that frequently last year. How helpful was that last year to kind of turning the tide for the Cowboys?
You know, it's interesting. I looked at that same thing, because this is the second straight year where they've gone into the bye in week seven. Same bye as they had last year. Last year they were 4-2, and they had a game that they probably shouldn't have lost to Arizona. Yep. They had kind of a tough, gritty win at one point, which was to the Chargers, a game where they did not play well, and they ended up winning 20-17. That was week six going into the bye, so that was the high note in which I referenced. Which is very, it almost mirrors the game that they had in Pittsburgh, 20-17, same final score, same type of game, and taking down a Pittsburgh team this year where they took down Los Angeles last year. And then they also had a game where they just got their teeth kicked in, and that was San Francisco, 42-10. You remember that game last year on the road.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't three straight blowout losses, so I don't think it was as frustrated going into the bye, and they were 4-2 as opposed to 3-3. So even with a one-game difference, they're one game out this year in the NFC East lead. They were one game out at this point last year of the NFC East lead. So it's not a huge difference in terms of win-loss, but it's the way that it happened. The other thing that I think comparatively to last year in those across-the-hall meetings, they played really well coming out of the bye, winning the majority of the next five or six games, but it was mostly because of the schedule they played. I know they played the Panthers in there. They played the Commanders, who weren't very good last year in there. The Giants, I believe, were in that same sort of schedule part of it last year. I wasn't at the point, or looking at it, I wasn't going to compare the two until you look at the schedule this year, right? And the schedule this year is you've got Houston, you've got Philly, you've got San Francisco next week, Atlanta the week after that. I mean, this is a really, really tough first-place schedule, which you've earned and which you knew was going to be there anyways. But the way that it plays out, it's just not as easy to make that turnaround last year that they did in the bye as they're going to have to this year.
Kyle, you might hate this question. I kind of hate myself a little bit for asking this question. Zach Martin.
That's the best lead-in I've ever heard.
Zach Martin is a surefire Hall of Famer,
no doubt. Mm-hmm.
But he has been decidedly not the same this season. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Is there anything you see? Because, like, I know the logical thing to say is, like, well, players get older, father time undefeated. I understand all of that. Is there anything else you see on the film that you're like, that's new or that's different or that's off?
Yeah, I don't think the footwork has been as clean this year from Zach. And maybe that's because he's a step slower and he's trying to overcompensate and try and get to a spot quicker, and it's just putting him in a weird spot and he's losing leverage. This week was the worst performance of his career, and I think
wow.
He would probably say the same thing.
Because he got the other guy a contract extension?
Yeah, maybe so. I just, when you look at the way that Zach Martin has been a steady hand on this offensive line, it almost felt like it was never going to come. That day was never going to come, where we were sitting here saying, yeah, he had the worst performance of his career. But he did against Detroit. If you go back and you watch the film, pressure after pressure after pressure, Dak Prescott had guys on the interior of that defensive line working their way in the backfield quickly. And they did so not only against Zach Martin, but really against anybody up front. And I think Martin has been the benefactor of guys around that he trusts and that he knows, like Tyler Biadasz, like Terrence Steele, who also isn't having a great year this year. But a reminder, they have two rookies on the offensive line starting, which I thought going into the year was going to be an upgrade, but I think now we're starting to see where the inexperience comes in. When Tyler Guyton's been out, then you put TJ Bass in there. He's inexperienced as well. Instead of it being three or four solid offensive linemen trying to hide one discrepancy or one inadequacy, you've got three or four offensive linemen that are inadequate, and they're trying to hide, and there's one guy trying to hide them, and that guy, I think, differs from week to week. Most of the time it's been Tyler Smith, but now he's been put out the left tackle. It's just a jumbled mess, I think, across the line. And Zach Martin is being put in a situation where he's been all his life as the cornerstone, that anchor of the offensive line, and I just don't know if he can do it anymore. And I think that's just where we are with Zach Martin. Could he come back and surprise everybody next week? Absolutely. But he's been in a significant regression here in 2024. You can see that just game after game, and then having the performance that he did against Detroit, it was a bit humbling to see, I think, up front of how this Cowboys offensive line has been built so far.
I'm going to ask you one more question about that, particularly because I'm very fascinated by, and I care a lot about, the dollars and cents of sports and of this team and everything. Is that all the more alarming given that, you know, whether it's he wants to retire or whatever the case might be, the Cowboys still have a hefty bill due on Zach Martin on the backside of this season?
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know the dead cap wouldn't necessarily, like, there's not like an actual out in that contract until after 25, right? Like,
yep.
Going into 26
Correct.
Is where they're going to have to, where that's like the, that was kind of the perforated line, you know, like when you're tearing off a paper towel, like that was the perforated line in that contract.
How are you saying that word?
Stop.
Kyle, how are you saying that word?
Is it perforated?
I believe it is. Perforated, good sir.
Perforated?
Kyle, he'll never stop being a newspaper editor.
Whatever it is, perforated line. You got what I was talking about.
I did. I'm just giving you crap, Kyle.
Just stay calm as a cucumber.
On a Thursday. But that's where you can rip the contract away and say, okay, we're good here. But you're right. You kind of have to get him to the end of the 2025 season in order for that to be beneficial for both Zach Martin and for the Cowboys because of the guaranteed money. The holdout, of course, that happened last year, and the new contract that was then signed. So credit to Zach Martin getting his bag, still playing at a high level for the most part. But I've always said 80% of Zach Martin is still better than 100% for a lot of other guys.
Sure.
And now I'm starting to see with him on the injury report with the back issue last week, maybe that played a factor. But 80% of Zach Martin might actually be 80% of what some of the other guys are in the league around, at least at this point in his career.
Now, Kyle, one of the things that we've seen, low numbers of separation for wide receivers, we have every day when we come in on Mondays, there are texts pouring in about how they're not getting, you know, the receivers aren't getting enough separation, that part of that conversation. How do you, you've watched this, you've watched these routes that these guys are running. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the route running of the receivers?
Yeah, they're not perfect. It's not every play, right? There are plays where they get it right and the scheme is there. And a lot of these guys, wide receiver-wise, have been in the scheme for 2 years. This is Mike McCarthy's second year as a play caller. It's not like Mike Zimmer where you come in and a lot of guys who have done it one way are trying to learn it in a completely different way. These wide receivers know how to run these routes, and they know how this scheme works and what it's supposed to set up and what the ultimate end goal is. And whether it's been alignment, assignment, execution, all of these things have at some point or another have kind of had a lapse in terms of whether it's a wide receiver and Dak not being on the same page, or I think one of them that stood out to me was in the New Orleans game when Jalen Brooks fell down. He ran that route phenomenally, but the execution of it was taken away when he slipped and he fell down and it ended up in an interception. He routed up his defender. I forgot which defender it was on the Saints that day, but the fact that he at the break and at the stem of his route, he slips down and there's an interception and a turnover just like that. This week, we actually, on Special Edition, one of the TV shows that we record early in the week, Isaiah Stanback, who, of course, you guys know.
He's
awesome.
Been
around for a while. He does a phenomenal job, and especially with the film. He breaks down four plays from the Cowboys' first six games, and it's kind of along that same lines of guys not running the right routes, guys being in the wrong place at the right time. Timing, oh, man, timing has been off significantly throughout. So it's not just the lack of separation. Dak Prescott's throwing against some of the tighter windows in football right now in terms of guys not having a window for him to throw the football to. And that's one thing, but it's everything else that lines up to it. And at some point, the trust starts to fall off. And I think that's what you're seeing from Dak and a couple of these guys is, yeah, you might run it right one play, but I need you to run it right every play. And there's times where that just isn't the case, and it does hinder what this offense is trying to do as a whole.
Fantastic stuff, Kyle. Always appreciate it, man. Look forward to talking to you next week as we roll in against San Francisco.
Perforated, right?
Perforated.
I'm proud of you. Make sure and get that right. See, here's the thing is my wife, if she heard me, she would say the exact same thing. She would be right up on it saying, what are you talking about? What was that word? So I'm glad you corrected me. Perforated there, Corey. I got it from here on out.
Congratulations. I hope you get right up on it this weekend.
Go and take care of those
triplets, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
There he goes. Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com. Good dude, too.
He is.
Always like love talking to him. Now, Kevin, before I wrap this up for the C Block, I was asked by Tolo at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings next week, I believe.
Correct. In Grand Prairie, so will the G-Bag Nation.
And also, don't forget tomorrow in
Denton.
That's
the last time we were there in Grand Prairie, real quick. That's when they were starting game one of the World Series.
Oh, yeah. We got the chant going and
the
everything.
News was there. Yeah. The Arizona news.
Yeah. My friends in Arizona called me and said, you were on the news. Also, don't forget, in Denton tomorrow, Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show featuring Eric Schiaffalo.
Yes.
We'll be out and about. So make sure of that. But, Micah, Tolo brought us some glasses. And they brought you this glass. Can you please hand that over to Mike Bassett, Kevin? This is your glass. This is hand-blown.
They made it.
Yeah, he made this glass for you, and he wanted to see your face. So I want to make sure I gave this to you and got your face on the camera so he can check it out.
It's a Texas Rangers glass.
This is cool. They made the glass.
Yeah, and he painted it into it or however you make glass. He did it. I don't know how to do it. Uh-huh. But I just thought that was a really cool thing. He knows how much you love the Rangers, and he wanted to make sure he got that to you.
Well, thank you. This is nice.
Yeah. Are you going to drink a lot of Italian wine out of that now?
I think so. We actually have some wine coming our way. I don't know how long it takes.
Oh, yeah, because I guess you had to get it shipped back.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can. Yeah, I don't think you should ship it like yourself.
Yeah, you let somebody else do that.
Yes. I would agree with that, Mike.
I guess we're going to drink this out of the suitcases with glass in it.
Broken.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which players or teams are you rooting for or against in the MLB playoffs? Plus, let's get to that Gilbert Arenas brawny discussion next on The Fan.
Here's the pitch to him. He swings and drives it high in the air. Left field. Will it make the bleachers? Grand slam! Late. Thomas has put the Guardians in front.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got a lot of ground to cover here. We're going to get to the Gilbert Arenas Bronny discussion. But also, I'm curious, since we're in the midst of the ALCS and the NLCS, who are you rooting for or against? Now, it could be a team, it could be a person, because I think individually, we talked about this going into the playoffs. Even though I want the Yankees to lose, I wanted Aaron Judge and Shohei to look awesome just because those are the two biggest names and they're on the biggest teams and they look like they're in a collision course and they're going to be dual MVPs. Like, it has everything story-wise. And I told you last week, Corey, I wanted to see them both be successful in the playoffs individually.
Yeah, and I think I told you at that point, too, I loved the Shohei-Mike Trout moment so much because they got to face each other in the World Baseball Classic. Judge and Shohei won't necessarily get to face each other.
It wasn't even semifinal. It was the last out.
Yeah, the last at bat.
That was so awesome.
It was the coolest. For me, I don't know how y'all feel, one of the coolest moments in baseball, and then the Rangers win the World Series. So, like, that's a cool thing. But Judge and Shohei don't go against each other. So, I think it's cool that each inning, they, you know, you might see them pop up or something.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers have always been my second team because I loved Oral Hershiser so much. I'm rooting for the Mike Bassett World Series, though.
Oh, Cleveland and the Mets.
This more than anything, I want to see Mike's face when not only his favorite team just won the World Series, but now one of his former teams rolls in and maybe gets a chance to win the World Series. I want to see that happen for Mike. So the Rangers just won one. I would like to see one of these two teams go at it. Plus, they have underdog stories that I really like. And these other two teams, while it might be great for baseball, it's like, come on, they're the teams. You know, you get it. Everybody knows those teams. So I'm rooting for the Mike Bassett World Series.
I hate that I'm rooting for Cleveland and the Mets. But that's where my heart is, knowing that this would be a World Series nobody would remember if it's Cleveland versus New York.
Could you choose between those teams? Like,
I would choose this. My son, and I love the guy too, Francisco Lindor is my son's favorite player for the rest of his life. There's just no way. The way he treated him on the field one time when it wasn't set up by me. Luckily, you know, I can get a field pass for my kids if need be in certain situations. And this was back in 2019, if I even have the year right. It might be 18. And they're playing Cleveland, and Lindor's on Cleveland. And Jake from, you know, he's working his third base running routine, yells at Lindor, "Mr. Lindor, Mr. Lindor." And Francisco peeks over and goes, "You're my favorite." And he comes over, he signs his Lindor jersey. Cool. I think he said, I'm going to hit a home run for you or something like that. And he did hit a home run. I mean, it's pure luck.
How could that not be your favorite player forever? Yes. If he's like, I'm going to hit a home run for you. And then he did.
And Lindor treats fans so tremendously well. He gets it.
He was doing somersaults on the field during like the preseason games. It was fun. He's fun.
And so I would root for the Mets versus the Guardians if like that World Series happened. But I want the same thing is like that will kill baseball. Like this morning, who are those four guys that play football that are on the Fox Sports?
Oh, yeah.
Acho and LeSean James McCoy. Jones.
Yeah. Right. I forget what the name of the
show
is.
Chase Daniels.
But they had to talk about baseball today. I bet all four of them don't watch baseball at all. But their producer's like, we got to talk Dodgers. They just won. The Yankees are playing tonight. Give me 10 minutes of whatever. We'll feed you the information. Yeah. Just whatever. But we have to talk baseball because of Dodgers and Yankees. And somewhat Mets because that is another New York team. But for baseball, I'm not rooting for it as in, but I know this will be best for baseball if the Yankees take on the Dodgers for all the reasons that all of a sudden, all of these shows that only want to talk about football and a little bit of basketball have to talk baseball for 2 weeks.
And you just got to get at least one of them. Like, you're right, but you know baseball is like, all right,
But even Dodgers Guardians, I almost feel like it in a way, because if you get the Subway Series, it's amazing. It's like the Yankees have to beat the Guardians for it to be a very memorable World Series, at least one for 2 weeks. People are talking about, people that don't even want to talk baseball have to talk baseball.
Now, I wanted to ask you one quick thing.
I'm sorry, did you say who you're pulling for?
Oh, you didn't say.
Yeah, I'm pulling for the Guardians. Absolutely.
Because
you did say.
Because I despise the Yankees. It goes back to this. And you can say it's irrational. That's fine. I accept it. 96, 98, 99. I go back to 96. I've said this before.
I'm with you.
Juan Gonzalez and company went into Yankee Stadium, whipped their ass, and I thought we were going to be unstoppable for the next, like, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, over the span of that playoffs, the next playoffs, and the next playoffs, the Rangers lost 9 consecutive playoff games to the Yankees, and the Yankees won the World Series every single one of those times. I will always, it's a little trickier with the Astros, but I will almost always root against the Yankees. So I also would like the Guardians to make it.
Let's go.
I'm conflicted about the other part because there's cool stories on both sides for the Dodgers and the Mets. So I don't think I have like a particular super rooting interest in that, except I want Mike to be happy.
Yeah. The Shohei part is really intriguing.
That's fair.
For sure. Freddie Freeman and his ankle, the Mookie Betts stories, the pitching. And Walker Buehler's story last night was phenomenal, the way he pitched. So there is some intriguing stuff in the National League too.
Quick question. Do you think it's a big deal if the Yankees mentioned that Nestor Cortez could come back if and when they make the World Series? Big deal? Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
But a deal.
But it could help because when he comes back, I'm sure he's going to be limited to a relief pitcher.
Probably.
Or if he's a starting pitcher, he's like an opener who maybe goes 3 innings at most. Does that make sense?
Because,
I mean, even right now, I was listening to John Paul Morosi on this morning with RJ and Bobby. And he was like, right now, out of all of these playoff games that have happened this year, the average start is 4 2/3 innings.
Wow.
So, I mean, even your average start isn't getting to 5 innings in these playoffs. So it would be a deal, but he wouldn't pitch 5 or 6 innings even if he was going well because his arm strength wouldn't be there to have the stamina. If guys that have been pitching healthy going into the playoffs can't really get to 5 innings pitched because of how much pressure there is, how many pitches you're having to throw, this and that, and then teams wanting to go to their bullpen.
Yeah.
I just think that he could come in and throw an inning or two in a game, and then like if you came back for the World Series, maybe he could be a relief pitcher in the 5th inning in game 1. And then in game 4, he pitches the 4th and 5th inning, you know, and so he could help, but not in a role that I think when you saw him as an all-star 2 years ago could help.
I gotcha. Now, we were going to talk about this earlier, but there's probably more that we needed to get into. So Gilbert Arenas was talking about Bronny. Do you want to just play the audio and then break it down from there? All right, so we'll go to cut number 12. This is Gilbert Arenas kind of giving a different sort of breakdown about the Bronny selection that I have heard.
You know, everyone's judging the basketball game, but nobody's judging him as an influencer. You know, sometimes you got to look at it a little different. He's an influencer that's playing basketball, right? You're talking about a kid who he has more followers on social media than Patrick Mahomes. Like, he literally has more than a 3-time NFL champion, right? So his influence is really, really huge. So he's gonna get chanted everywhere. This is not about his performance on basketball. Whoever they was gonna pick at 55, I'm pretty sure could have got picked at 56, 57, 58, 59. And if I ask you who those people are, you don't know. Because most of the world stopped watching after 55. The reason it was the second round draft night was because of 55. Mm. So the fact that the NBA put a second round day in is because Bronny James. I don't think nobody in the world thought he was going to be picked in the first round. So they knew where he was going to go. So they scheduled the whole thing behind him. He is a business. No matter what you're going to say, you're making money off of him.
All right, so there's actually a lot I disagree with in that. I will say one part is the competitive factor in terms of especially immediate impact. Who are you going to pick at 55 instead, or 56, 57, 58, 58. Like, I do think that is a fair point in terms of immediate impact.
Most of them were probably getting cut, and, you know.
Exactly. Okay, okay. That's fair. There's a lot about the rest of it I don't agree with. And go ahead.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
So one of the things I was thinking about on the influencer front, because I was really intrigued when you brought this up, because I had not heard this until Corey brought it up. Ben Simmons has about a million fewer followers on Instagram than Bronny does, but he also has more than Patrick Mahomes. I feel like nobody talks about Ben Simmons in basketball anymore, except to like probably take a shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
LaMelo Ball has 10 million more Instagram followers than Bronny does, and nobody talks about him either. Now, I realize part of that is because he's been hurt for a while, but even when he wasn't hurt, I don't feel like people are like, holy crap, you think Chicago's really about to take over? So I think he might be overstating the importance. He's not wrong about the numbers. Like, Bronny has more social influence than I could ever dream of. I just don't know if that carries over attention-wise to the product as much as you would think.
I don't think all of India is a Maverick fan because we drafted Satnam Singh, the first ever player from India.
That's a valid point. I often, Mike, you're really pure on this because of the first round picks get more chances, especially in baseball, the bonus babies. And I feel like people like you really get worked up about this because I was good at the sport. And this dude might not be as good, but he gets it because he's an influencer. The Russell Wilson showing up at Rangers practice, the Garth Brooks showing up at Rangers practice. I feel like that was fun, but it was really a publicity stunt. Everybody knew. Nope, yes. They're not getting a shot.
Yeah.
But I wondered how you guys felt whenever those things happened, because you're like, those are my reps. You know, like, is that my time? The other thing, though, is teams do this. The Japanese pitchers, guys want them because they know they're going to get butts in seats. They're going to get those contracts over in Japan. People are going to be watching all over the world, right? They're going to be watching from Japan.
Are you saying like Shohei?
Baseball, like Shohei.
Shohei might have got
Yu Darvish
more because you know that you're picking up a market.
Yeah, you're True. Picking up another market. So that influence, I get it. But I think it is, when I make this, how would everybody feel if John Steven was drafted by the Cowboys? You know, they would be like, what, really? But it would be a huge story.
Yeah, because most sixth and seventh rounders, just like second round basketball players, get cut. So why didn't they just draft John Steven for profile situation? And
but I don't want to see more teams going, you know what? This is a business model we can use. We should hire more of these guys. Let's look at their Instagram first before we decide if we're going to draft them. Because you want to use the best people that are going to help your team win.
Wouldn't you argue outside of sports, that is a business model a lot of people follow?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many followers do you have?
And I'll say, I said this to you this morning, the Rangers picked up Sammy Sosa because he was on his way to hitting 600 home runs here.
Right.
Beltre, they loved having Beltre that last year because they could go after that 3,000th hit. You know, there were things that they've used over their history. The Rangers were like, we can use this for a season. But you also pointed out there's another reason they had those guys too. That was because they could be trade option because they were still good enough to be on a contender.
There's plenty of guys that veteran players in baseball and sometimes in basketball that will sign with a team they know is not going to make the playoffs, knowing one, I'm going to get the most money. And then the other, it's kind of like this agreed upon deal with the agent. Hey, we're signing here. You're paying us great money. Thank you so much. We're taking the most, but we also know in July, if he's doing well, he's not going to be on the team in August and September. You're going to trade him to the team that gives you the best prospect, and then he's going to go to a team where he can help as a DH or a utility player or whatever it is, the Sammy Sosa situation. Like, so there is, it is similar but different. This Bronny thing, Gilbert, I'm not a big fan of Gilbert Arenas. I've listened to him, you know, do his thing, and I get it. He's an opinion maker. I'm just not a big fan of his opinions. It doesn't mean he's wrong or right or whatever, but I feel like he defends LeBron James till his last dying breath.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
And so he's such a LeBron guy. It's like LeBron can't do anything wrong ever. So in this situation, I think he's really making sure I'm going to defend LeBron manipulating everything. The thing is we don't know yet is how much will he manipulate that Bronny's going to actually play in games when we know that he's not close to being ready to play in an NBA game. He might not ever be ready to play in an NBA game. And 5 years from now, he might be a really nice role player in the NBA. We don't know, but he proved nothing in high school and nothing in his 1 year of college that he deserved to be in an NBA uniform, except that daddy got him there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is he today?
I'm having fun, Hagee. I'm reading up on some of the things Dale Hansen said to ultimately get bleep canned back in the day in 95. It's fun to go down, you know, memory lane and actually learning some new things along the way. And we'll, you know, review some of those coming up at 2.
Do you feel like you need to have Dale on the show to revisit some of your magical interactions from so many years ago?
That would be fun. You know,
That's
fired
like
Sham too, right?
Yeah. Sham was out of there. He did the Rangers for a couple of years.
So what brought that to the front of your mind?
This USA Today article with, you know, Jerry Jones talking about how Brad had to take a leave of absence and you know, Dale found himself out on the outside. So I was just trying to figure out how similar those situations were. Was interesting. Dale was, you know, fired by the radio station. But the story of the Telegram says it was all Jerry Jones' decision, you know.
Wow.
So. And I don't know. I don't think Sean would actually get fired, you know. But I think maybe Jerry. What today kind of shows me is that maybe this is serious enough to Jerry Jones, and he genuinely feels slighted. And you know, maybe he could be looking for another radio show to do his weekly on. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest consequence that they'd face. I don't think this is something that maybe the radio station to be convinced needs to be a firing. And, you know, Dale's was more personal, but it's not like it was a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, like he called him a liar. You know, he was critical of a 4th-and-1 decision in a game. That set Jerry off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy, you know. So it's not like it was massive Dale Hansen, like, ridiculing and persistently humiliating Jerry Jones. As you could imagine, Dale might, but he didn't in this situation. It was a few things here or there.
It's interesting, in the USA Today article, which I guess the interview might have taken place Tuesday evening is what we're hearing, and then coming out today, is one of the things that Jerry added was, they're my own folks, talking about John, RJ, and Bobby.
Yeah, so he sees it the same. You know, I think maybe he looks at that radio show not as him going on The Fan, but as an extension of his broadcast deal between The Fan and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is the Jerry Jones show. It just happens to be on Sean and RJ.
Because part of the article, Jared Bell, who wrote it, does say, well, they're kind of asking questions the fans would, right? And so Jerry says, not really. They set the tone. I have fans all the time that I communicate with. They have more of a right, really, than guys that, frankly, I'm paying to put a show on.
That's crazy.
I know.
I was whenever
he switches shows. I just hope that they pay us.
Whenever I was 5,
that'd be sweet.
That'd be nice.
Is there a way that, I mean, I'm going to be honest here. Is there a way that he's paying, but Sean and RJ and Bobby or us doing Friday shows that we don't get that? Like, is there that possibility? Like, I'm just throwing that out. Like, maybe he is. I don't know. I have no clue because we don't get a dime from the Dallas Cowboys. I never have. I don't think anybody in here has for working at 105.3 The Fan.
So. Not work. I mean,
you're getting money, but I'm brought us.
I'm a contracted employee with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
That part of doing the draft show and doing the break. I am a contracted employee with them.
The draft shows, though, but that's on DallasCowboys.com, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get that. Like, I get paid by the Rangers when I'm doing the game.
Sure.
I'm not getting paid by, I don't know, I guess, Bally's, right? I did get paid by Bally's to do pre and post, right? My money.
FanDuel.
Yeah. Well, FanDuel now. But, like, when I was there, like, whether it's Fox Sports or whatever. So, yeah. So, I get what you're saying, but, like,
He makes
it sound like Jerry's making it sound like Sean and RJ and Bobby should be getting a check from the Cowboys to do the Jerry Jones show. And that's how Jerry sees it, right?
Yeah, he sees it like he's on DallasCowboys.com, basically.
Yeah. I'm throwing out, like, questions. Like, maybe he is. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I honestly have no clue. Nobody tells us.
It's an interesting idea, Mike. You know, maybe Jerry Jones does actually pay for that. That would be news to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get to know these things. Mm-hmm. People would get mad at me for Bally's not being on different television stations or different. And I would be like, I don't have anything to do with that. I really don't know behind the scenes what happens with Bally's and the Texas Rangers. I had no clue. Yeah. I work for Bally's. I work for the Fan. I have no clue of the contract Jerry has with 105.3 the Fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, obviously very interesting, you know, and with all that being said, whatever arrangement is in place now has been in place for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, so if he has decided he's now sensitive about questions about his team building philosophy and that's now off limits, maybe we got to respect that. You know, if he's paying for having some control, and I know Jerry wants to be in control and cowboy every deal he's in. So maybe that is the situation, but I don't want to be in a fight with Jerry about this. You know, I think this is just, you know, maybe something that, you know, we just kind of let sleeping dogs lie a little bit, come out of the bye week and talk about beating the Niners' ass.
Yeah, look, we
kind of really all want is them to win.
Yeah.
I think that's really all we want.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't think a lot of us are fans is kind of like, dude, I paid for season tickets the last year at Texas Stadium out of my own pocket.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. When I was five, I was wearing the Tony Dorsett jersey with the plastic helmet. My whole life I've been
the
a
Hutch?
Fan.
Yeah. The Hutch helmet?
Yeah, that Hutch helmet. Like,
there's a lot of Cowboys love.
Survived concussions with that thing?
I had a few.
I mean, he knows how what the media has value. So you're saying that, like, studying the team and all of the news every day and talking about it and going to Oxnard for weeks and being away from my family does nothing to give me a better platform or at least an equal platform as the fans?
Yeah.
I just, okay, dude, right? Uncle, you win. Sorry.
Look, normal on a normal schedule, he'd be on our show tomorrow at 10:30 with a bye week. We don't know.
We're still in a, yeah, we don't. Usually,
because I know Steven's not usually on during the bye week and everything.
He needs to worry about that Arkansas LSU game. Let me tell you that right now.
Okay.
You know, he told me to get on the film. You need to get on the film, Jerry, about that Arkansas LSU film.
So I suppose it's possible he'll be on tomorrow at 10:30. I've got no confirmation of that whatsoever, though.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
I agree. That is a great word great to tease. Use. Interesting.
I'd call it pure gold. Haggy.
Oh, I love that.
Much like your show today.
Yes, sir.
What else, I'm assuming, we need to know about your show today?
We have Kevin Harlan coming up at 2:20 to talk about the NBA and the NFL. And we also have Danny Cannell talking college football, Texas, Georgia, and everything going on at 4.
Will you do me a favor if you get a chance? We asked Danny Cannell if I should stop getting my hopes up and if A&M has a legitimate shot to make the 12-team playoff.
I'll just tell you, Kevin, stop getting your hopes up.
Okay.
Buddy. My lead question.
Yeah. Man, if that's your lead question, he might be like, that's what you're bringing to the table for your lead question. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Get in line, Kevin.